There will be a second scripture reading, and it will come from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, which is on page 201 of your New Testaments and your Pew Bibles. So if you want to have that marked, that is coming. It's not in your bulletin, but that's what it shall be. Also, if you want to see the slideshows, actually see them, come back Monday afternoon, I think like around 1:15, and the sanctuary will be dark, right? That's when the solar eclipse is. No, truly though, we'll try to get these on the new website or something so that you can see them in proper lighting. Last week's Vacation Bible School slideshow as well. So, there were 15 of us, 13 youth and 2 adults, and we gathered in the hotel lobby of the Days Inn and Suites in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We had arrived there the night before, around midnight, still writing the joyful send-off our prayer partners and families gave us. Some fell right to sleep when we got there, and others ordered pizza and wings to the hotel. Some woke up and ate breakfast, and others slept right through it. Some went for a walk around the neighborhood, and others for a dip in the hotel pool. Cassandra and I took turns going to pick up our rental vans for the week, which would be lovingly named Chester and Rhonda. So then there were 17 of us. So now, some 18 hours into the journey, we finally stopped. And we looked at one another. The distraction of home and family some 2,000 miles away. We were still 2 hours from our final destination in Crown Point, New Mexico. And we went around the circle sharing our names, which should give you an idea of how unfamiliar some of us were to others of us as the week began. And we read these words from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. You can find them on page 201 of the New Testament in your Pew Bibles. Listen to the word of God. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. And then I read it again, this time asking everyone in the circle to pick a word from the text. This would be their word for the week. We would hold each other accountable to the word that person chose. We can't do it all perfectly, but surely we could live into one word, to use the metaphor of the text, clothe ourselves in one characteristic of Christ. In so doing, we could make God known to those we met by living fully into one such quality, and maybe even God would make God's self known to us in our struggle to embody our one Christ-like word. And as we went around the circle, some chose unity, others peace, and others kindness, some committed to be thankful, forgiving, or humble. And when my turn came, I spoke this word, patience, and God laughed. This was the devotion that started our week, the practice we would live by, the words we would breathe in and out as we navigated the week ahead with its untold trials and triumphs. God certainly provided me ample opportunity to practice patience. This word, whichever word we chose, would keep us focused in the week ahead as we dared to step outside of our comfort zones. That is, in fact, why we went so far away to begin with. Because sometimes, to know God and experience God at work in the world, you have got to get outside of your own comfort zone. That is where growth happens. That's where transformation takes root, and that's why we fly clear across the country. If we stay here, where we know the streets, and we know the people, and we know the restaurants, and we know our parents are close by, then we keep on seeing the world as we have always seen it. And it takes an act of God to shake us enough to see things differently. And sure enough, these young people, they boldly stepped outside of their comfort zones, and they were changed in doing so. Because, if nothing else, I promise you, using a three-sided outhouse is far enough from our comfort zones to change you. When the fourth side of your private space is open to the expanse of God's creation, a new kind of vulnerability settles over you, and suddenly, the only thing you are aware of is just how great God is. No need to take your cell phone into that stall. There's enough to look at. It's a different kind of freedom. It nourishes your soul. And if you want to experience it for yourself, I will gladly take you back to Grandma Smiley's shiplap outhouse. And she will so happily welcome you. But I digress. Truly, growing in faith requires stepping outside of our comfort zones. There is this magical place just outside of your box of normal, but not too far outside, where the spirit seems to swell and your soul can shake off the constraints of the everyday, the pressures of school and work, the norms of troubled sibling relationships, the rehearsed responses, and the carefully constructed coping mechanisms. In that space, one is allowed to just be. And I would venture to guess that each one of us that went on that trip, at some point on the mission trip, and maybe, hopefully, for several moments on end, felt fully known and fully loved by God. And in this wholeness, we each found for ourselves the freedom and energy and faith and passion necessary to share and show God's love with others. But those moments didn't come without work. Getting outside of your comfort zone isn't easy. That's the whole point of it, right? It may mean sleeping in an unfamiliar place or eating unfamiliar food. You may not be able to start your day with a cup of coffee. It may require worshiping in unfamiliar ways. It will certainly include spending time with people you might otherwise overlook, and not just spending time with them, but getting to know them and hearing their stories and helping to hold their joys and sorrows. Getting outside of your comfort zone requires that you take some risks, too. The place that is outside of your comfort zone may also be an hour from the closest hospital, as Crown Point, New Mexico is, or it may be just high enough to suddenly discover your fear of heights, like Window Rock, Arizona is for me. Or outside of your comfort zone may be the underside of a pink house installing installation, the underside of a pink house, which until very recently was also the sheep's favorite place to go number two. All of this is true. And sometimes getting outside of your comfort zone may land you in the 45th chapter of Genesis. Think of Joseph's brothers. They have boldly humbled themselves. And we know from history that they are not a humble band of brothers. They have laid themselves and the fate of their families before an unknown agent of an ungracious Pharaoh. Their future depends on the whim of this magistrate who has already done some shady business, trading their one brother for food and making the odd request that they come back with their youngest brother. This does not seem like someone to trust. But this is who they are left to trust, and I imagine it did not feel so comfortable. And think, too, of Joseph. His shenanigans, that is a kind word for them, melt away when Judah reminds him of his suffering father, Jacob. He can no longer abuse his power. Joseph can no longer take his revenge. His coping mechanisms fail him, and he seemingly melts before them. "It is me, your brother." He weeps so loudly that those outside, the Egyptians and all of Pharaoh's household, hear him. And there, with both parties vulnerable, reconciliation begins. A few things to note about reconciliation as it comes to us in this biblical narrative. First, it starts with dialogue and truth-telling. Judah is honest about their father and the pain that will surely overcome him if Benjamin cannot return. It is Judah's honest words and his sacrificial act of love, "I will stay, let him go," towards their father that tears down the walls Joseph has so carefully constructed. Second, Joseph at this point does not directly forgive his brothers. This will not happen for another 5 chapters after their father has died, when finally he pours his heart out to them and before God declares, "Do not fear, even though you intended to harm me, God intended it for good." Trust has to be restored between the brothers before forgiveness can be offered. They'll spend years getting to know each other once again before forgiveness enters in. Third, reconciliation is messy and uncomfortable and full of tears. Even before Joseph speaks, he's weeping. The imagery is clear. Joseph folds himself, falls into his brother's neck. That is the posture of reconciliation, clinging to one another through tears, years of separation and hostility and attempted revenge melting away. The work of reconciliation begins with acknowledging the need for reconciliation, allowing time for the restoration of relationships where it is possible. And the work of reconciliation will necessarily be messy and uncomfortable work. Reconciliation does not happen as long as we remain inside our comfort zones. That is what you allowed our young people to do by sending them to New Mexico. You allowed them to step outside of their comfort zones and to begin the work of reconciliation. We went to New Mexico, to the Navajo Reservation. We built a wheelchair ramp for a Navajo woman whose body is heavy laden with burdens our government at best ignored, and at worst caused. We worshiped in a house of worship that navigates with so much integrity and authenticity the two worlds in which their members must exist, the indigenous religion that orders their whole lives, and the Christian religion, which was originally offered to them in exchange for basic human rights like food, healthcare, and education. You can have it if you accept Jesus first. And while there, we learned from the faith of an oppressed people who choose to wake up each morning and either literally or metaphorically run to the sun. Their homes open to the east to meet the rising sun. They live knowing that each day is new, a gift from God, and that no matter the pain, the hardship, the suffering of yesterday, God's light and love and life can and will rise again and again. There is so much need for reconciliation in this world, particularly in our current context. These young people, they dared to be a part of that work when they stepped outside of their comfort zones. They sought out conversations with people unlike themselves. They opened themselves to learning from the faith and knowledge of another, and they faced fearlessly the messiness of our history without ever celebrating its horrors. You do not come home from an experience like that unchanged. You return to your comfort zone a different person, with God a little closer to your center and with hate a little further from your heart. I invite you now to join them in the work of reconciliation. Pick your Christ word for the week, for the month, for the year, be it compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, love, harmony, peace, or gratitude. Pick it, and then with it, step boldly outside of your comfort zone. Thanks be to God. Amen.